Have you ever been in a dilemma? You know what a dilemma is? A dilemma is, maybe we could say, between a rock and a hard place, right? A dilemma is, I'm not sure which way to turn. A dilemma is, I can see the benefits of turning this way, and I can see that I should turn this way, and then there's a dilemma that says, well, I can see the benefits of turning this way, perhaps. But I also can see the challenges of turning this way, and I can see the issues that I might get into when I turn this way, but I can also see the issues I might get into when I turn this way. So I'm starting to weigh out the dilemma in my life. What do I do? Do I go this way and face the challenges and but I can see the benefits and I'm kind of feeling, or do I go this way and I can see the challenges of doing that and I can see the what might lie before me that might be difficult to get through. And all the challenge, I just got to be honest with you, I'm in a dilemma right now. I'm in a dilemma because I have something that I think God has laid on my heart for us to hear this morning. And then all of a sudden I get this feeling that God wants us to hear something different. And so what do you do? The dilemma, see, nothing I might say on this side, nothing is on the PowerPoint. So I'm in a dilemma because, see, I can see the benefits because the PowerPoint is all presentable for this side of the discussion. But this side, I'm feeling drawn to this side. And God, but I'm feeling drawn to this side. And God's, well, what do I do? You ever been there? Just so you know, I'm there right this very moment. So I don't know whether to say, God, in Jesus' name, have a good day. Maybe that's what I need to say. Or do I go with, see, I can see both sides of the story here. I can see both sides of the benefit. And so what do I do, God? What do I do? And then all of a sudden I start hearing songs, and the songs got me going toward maybe more this way. Because I do think we're bound at times. I do think the chains are heavy at times. And I don't, I think we sing about freedom more than we experience freedom. And that frustrates me in my own spirit for my own life to know that I can sing about freedom. My chains are gone. I heard you all say that. But then all of a sudden I get this, that's not true. They're not gone. So is it a prophetic word? Is it a word that says it's there, you just got to go for it? Are my chains gone? Then why do I feel like my chains are on? And sometimes I think my chains are on, and therefore I am not free. But I think about maybe something that will happen. So some of us are smiling, and some of us are saying, I don't know about that. My chains feel pretty heavy at times. I got a chain of parenting. I just don't know what I'm doing sometimes. I got a chain of working with some guys and people I don't know that I really like. I got a chain of marriage. It's heavy. I don't know what I'm doing. I got a chain of wanting to live out my faith out loud, but I don't know how to do that sometimes. And sometimes I feel that I need to say something and I need to live my faith out loud even in front of my family. And all of a sudden I don't because I'm bound. And all of a sudden I feel like, man, I really messed up. I missed the opportunity. And so all of a sudden I start to feel chains coming back on me, or another layer of chains, and now I'm ashamed, perhaps, of not being able to do what I felt I needed to do. Am I only the one talking in the mirror this morning? Or? So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do when it comes time? How do I get free? How do I really just get free? So the next time I sing the song, My Chains Are Gone, I am singing it with great gusto because I realize that my chain, this chain, not chains. Listen, some of us have been freed from chains of the past and chains that held me one time. I'm talking about those, but I'm also talking about the chains of today. See, I got two favorite passages of Scripture in the Bible, and one is Ezekiel 37, and one is 2 Samuel 22. And I find myself visiting those two passages often. One is 11 verses, and one is 50. And so I find myself just personally going to those passages, because sometimes I'm the Ezekiel, and sometimes I'm the David. Sometimes I am the one who is giving the word of the Lord to bring freedom to those around. And sometimes I'm the guy who wants to experience freedom and experience what God wants to do and set me free so I can rise to new levels. So some days I think we are Ezekiels, and we are the ones in the chain of faithlessness. This is not going to make any difference. And if we go to Ezekiel 37, we see Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel. And we see what he was going to do. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The hand was upon him. And he brought me out by the Spirit, is what the passage says. And he brought me out by the Spirit. And he was doing something in and through me all at the same time. Ezekiel was experiencing God. And he was in a very hard situation. Ezekiel was not free. Ezekiel was in the bondage of Babylonians. Ezekiel had been taken captive. Ezekiel couldn't walk around anywhere he wanted. He was in a slavery mode. But yet God was using him to bring freedom to others. And I get the heart that sometimes Ezekiel wanted to be the one to stand in freedom. He had been taken as a young child and a young teenager, and he had been taken to this foreign land and enslaved in this land. But he gets to proclaim freedom. See, I think Ezekiel is, my chains are gone. I've been set free. And I think he's singing that, and I think he sees that, and I think he wants that, but I don't think he's knowing it right then. And just so you know, Ezekiel is a priest. Ezekiel is a child of the Most High God. Ezekiel has been leading others to Christ. Amen. Ezekiel has got it down. He knows the Scripture. He can quote the Torah. He knows what God is doing in their lives and in his life. He knows what God can do. He knows what he has done in the past. He knows the stories of the Bible. So he tells... He gets this passage of Scripture and he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley, and it was full of hopelessness. And it was full of dry bones. Reading from 2 Samuel, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold and my refuge and my Savior. From violent men you save me. I call to the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. But listen, that's the end of the story. Because I think David might have been in the valley. Now I understand the historical gap between David and Ezekiel. I got that, okay? A few hundred years. I know David was not physically in the same valley that Ezekiel was in. As a matter of fact, there was probably 500 years between the two stories. But I don't think you have to be in Ezekiel's valley to be in the valley. I don't think you had to have been physically there to be in a valley to know what it feels like to be dry. And David is saying this, the waves of death swirled around me, and the torrent of destruction overwhelmed me, and the cords of the grave coiled around me, and the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I called out from my God. I called out to my God from his temple. He heard my cries. My cries came to his ears. Oh, I've been set free, and I'm not free. God, I want to be free. You're going to have to go with me this morning because I'm still in my dilemma. I'm still in my dilemma, and I still want to, I can go back to what's safe and what I've studied all week. But God is, he's kind of doing away with that bridge. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to that side of the platform anymore this morning. He said, would you just stay? Would you just shut up and preach? Amen. You get in the way of yourself so many times. So you get in the way of yourself. Will you just let me speak? And I want him to speak this morning. And I don't know what it feels like when the swirls of death are around me. We have a friend that we went to Mexico with a week ago. She was lying in the hospital and just realized that she did not know. She realized that she had a brain tumor. She thought she was having a stroke. And and instantly they took her to the hospital and they found this massive brain tumor right in the center of her head. And she posted this on Facebook. I lie here knowing that I don't have much time left. And all of a sudden people started praying and God started to move in her life. And all of a sudden the surgeon shows up. And on Wednesday they started to operate on that. And the surgeon came out and said, I got it all. On Saturday, yesterday, they were posting pictures of her and her daughter shopping. Our God is mighty. And when we cry out to him, our cries come to his ears. I want mine done sooner than later. I want my freedom to come, but I need to continue to cry out to my God because my God is sending an Ezekiel into my valley. He's sending him into my valley. Even as we speak, he's sending an Ezekiel into my valley, and he's going to speak something into my life, and he's going to speak something. Trust me. I got this. Trust me. You watch what I'll do. You think you're in over your head. Watch what I can do. You think the water is taller than you. It is right. You've diagnosed the problem right. But you forgot your God. And I want to free you. And I want to free you from the chains that are binding you. Let me do that. Let me do that. I've got an Ezekiel ready. I know you're a David. I know you're a David. But I got an Ezekiel ready. And I got a freedom ready for you. And I'm going to send him into your valley. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to be upon him or her. And they're going to start to work in your life. And they're going to carry my blessing to you. And they're going to carry my freedom to you. And they're going to experience something like you never experienced it before. A.W. Tozer from years ago, he said, one of his quotes is this, the God of the American church rarely surprises anyone. What a shame. What a shame that our God doesn't ever surprise us. It's the same thing over and over and over. And I want God to show up in my life, and I want to cry out to God. And even though the waves of death are about me, and the earth trembled. Listen, verse 6 of 2 Samuel 22. It says this, the earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the earth shook. They trembled because God was angry. Did you ever think about God being angry because you've got chains on? Do you ever think he's angry, not at you? Will you stop thinking that God is angry at you? God is not angry at you. God is not mad at you. God is angry with the chains that are holding his children down. And his anger is not burning against you. He loves you. But he's angry at what's holding you to the ground. And he's ready to do battle with what's holding you to the ground. I heard the song on the radio just this past week. Whatever he wages war against, he defeats. And I started to hear myself, God, wage war on this. Wage war on this situation in my life. Wage war on this situation in my family's life. Wage war on this in this community. Wage war, God. I'm asking you to wage war on drug addiction. I'm asking you, God, wage war, because I know if you declare war, you win. I'm asking you to declare war. And I'm going to continue to ask him to declare war. I'm going to get out of my streets and I'm going to hold up my hand. I'm going to say, God, declare war on what holds this street to the ground. And he wants to do that today. He wants to do that in your life, and he wants to do that in my life. He wants to wage war, not against you. He loves you. He wants to wage war at what's holding you to the ground and what your chains are that are binding you, that are sucking the life out of you. I prayed with a guy this week. He says, I'm feeling so heavy. This is on me, and this is on me, and this is on me, and this is on me. And I could hear, just as he was proclaiming what was on him, I could hear it pushing the life out of him. I could physically hear it pushing the life out of him. And all of a sudden, I heard myself, God, declare war on what's pushing him down. Because every war you will wage, you will win. I need to start asking God to wage war, because when God shows up, the earth trembles and smoke comes from his nostrils, consuming fire from his mouth, burning coals blaze out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, and the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his brilliance, bolts of lightning come forth. Can you imagine that scene? Why did all that happen? Because one guy who was bound by the chains cried out to his God. We do a lot of moaning and groaning and I don't know how much crying out we do. But when one guy cried out to his God, God come out of the heavens in this amazing thing, in this amazing situation, this amazing display of the power of God. The Lord thundered in verse 14. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice from the Most High resounded. And look what he did in 15. He shot arrows and scattered the enemy, bolts of lightning, and routed them. He's doing war over your chains. I was watching Hawaii 5-0 the other day. 1970s. Not the... Whatever today's Hawaii 5-0 is, that's a bunch of hoo-ha, just so you know. If you don't have Steve, I mean the Steve McGarrett, forget it. Don't try to remake the show. For crying out loud, you're not going to replace some guys. And the Steve McGarrett can't be replaced by some dude. Dude, get another job. You're not Steve McGarrett. Am I speaking the truth or not? Like, you book him, Dan, all right. And it's always murder one. He doesn't go for the little stuff. Murder one, book him, Dan, murder one. I was watching Hawaii 5-0. I have some opinions on some things. And Steve McGarrett was handcuffed to a palm tree, I think it was. Of course, it's in Hawaii. It wouldn't be a maple tree, I don't think. And this girl come out to help him in his time of need, and he had been beat up, but he was Steve McGarrett. He never falls down. He just, you know, he's standing strong. But I'm telling you what, he's handcuffed to this thing, and this girl has a gun. And Steve McGarrett's like, ah. And he pointed the gun right between the handcuffs. And he pointed the gun, and she got a little... And now he pointed the gun right toward the handcuffs. And then he just kind of backed off a little. Boom! He was free. Whoa, that was close, Steve. Even for you, Steve, that's close. I mean, that's a pistol, a pretty good pistol. At that close a range, and God says, I can do that. I can blow it off of you and never touch you. You got to let me get close. You got to let me get close. You got to let me put the pistol right on the chains. You got to let me put the fire right to the chain. You got to let me get the torch to the chain. Do you know that they're part of you and I need to do some surgery? And surgery comes sometimes with a torch or a pistol. I'm going to shoot it off of you, but don't worry. I'm not going to hit you. I am mighty enough to shoot the handcuffs off of you and not hit you. I'm coming, he said. I'm coming. I'm coming. I see your chains. And I'm mad. And I'm angry. and I've left my heavenly realm, and I've drove to your location, and I see your chains, I see your handcuffed to the tree, I see the bad guys got plans for you. Don't worry, but you got to trust me. Don't worry, yet you got to trust me. You got to trust me. I'm going to blow those handcuffs clean off of you with not one mark on you. And he shot arrows and he routed the enemy. I love that phrase. It's not even one I have underlined in this passage of Scripture, but just at this very moment, I really love that phrase of how well God can shoot. I ordered $200 worth of ammunition from Midway. That's a good place to get ammunition. And the UPS driver comes to the door like, I took it off his hands in the porch. I said, a little heavy. And he says, getting some ammo, huh? I said, yeah. Wait till he delivers what I'm getting on Monday. I got 10-inch throwing ninja throwing stars, 10 inches across them. It's not our story. Mensling. But God can shoot. I'm amazed at how accurate God is. Would you let him? Are you going to trust him? Are you going to let him put the gun right to what the chains that are binding you? Listen to what he says. The valleys of the sea were exposed. The foundation of the earth laid barren at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of his nostril. He didn't even open his mouth yet. Did you ever try to blow out your candles with your nose? If you haven't, please don't. But you can, I mean, you can get a little wind out of your nostril, but you can get a lot more wind out of your mouth. Do you ever whistle with your nose? I mean, you can't get enough wind out of your nose. And God said, I don't even need to open my mouth for this. And I just laid the whole valley barren. And I'm a great shot, and I'm angry at your chains. I'm not angry at you. I want you to sing, my chains are gone. I want you to know that's true. And then look at what he says in verse 17. We could go back to Ezekiel 37 too. And just see Ezekiel 37, he sends him into this valley. And he says, I saw a good many bones. And then he says this, they were very dry. I saw a good many. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. See, don't miss a word in the Word of God. They're not just bones. They're very dry bones. It's like a good doctor is not going to get these back on their feet. This situation has gone too far. It needs God. The chains are too tight. Don't try. Listen, New Lifers. Stop trying to get them off yourself. Just stop. Just stop trying. And if I can get these chains off, then maybe I can run with God and he'll think more of me. That's not the case. Stop trying to remove the chains on your own. Stop trying to remove the chains. Let God blow the chains off you. He's a great shot. And it's okay to be very dry. It's okay. God is not mad at your very dryness. He's mad at what's dried you out. Just so you know, I'm getting less and less of a dilemma. Look at verse 17 of 2 Samuel 22. It says this. Look what he says. He reached down from on high, and he took a hold of me, and he drew me out of the deep water. A God who just thundered from heaven. A God who just ripped it apart. A God who just entered the stadium as the champion. The God who just blew the whole valley barren just with his nostril. And then with his gentle hand, a God who was driven by his anger. And then with his gentle hand, he took a hold of the guy. He took a hold of David. And David said, he drew me out of the dryness. He drew me out of the deep water. He drew me out of the dry boneness of my life. He did that. God is not mad at you. He's just not. But he's mad at what's got you to the ground. And he drew me, he reached down from on high and he drew me out of the deep water. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from my foes who were what? Too strong for me. You can't do it without God. Whatever has got you nailed to the ground, it's mightier than you. But your God is mightier than it. When he wages war, he wins. Ask God to wage war at what's got you nailed to the ground. Ask him to look at your chains, to shoot the handcuffs off of you. Ask him. He wants to do it. The reason he's doing this right here is because one guy asked him. Verse 19 of 2 Samuel 22, it says, they confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my what? My support. See what happened here? All of a sudden he got his eyes off the chains and the eyes on his God. And he realized that, wait a minute, this is I'm not going down in this. Wait a minute, I know this chain is not going to drag me under the water. This chain is not going to drag me down under the water where it drowns me. This chain is not going to do that because God's got a hold of me. Amen. And we said a few weeks ago, if I'm not dead, God's not done. And God says, I'm telling you what, that's not taking you down because I got my hand under you. And I'm blasting those chains off of you and I'm freeing you from those chains. And I'm going to do a work in your life like you've never seen it before. I'm drawing you out of the stuff that you don't think you can get out of. And you're right, you can't get out of it without me because your bones are very dry. But I'm sending someone in. I'm sending myself in. I'm coming in. Why? Because one guy cried out to his God. I just need to say this. If you've been crying out to God, hang on. I'd hate to have you give up just one second before he shows up. Those dry bones laid in that valley, they couldn't do anything. And all of a sudden, he said to Ezekiel, do you see him? What do you see? I see dry bones. And he says, Ezekiel, can anything be done here? God is asking Ezekiel, can anything be done here? Can these bones live? Son of man, I think it says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel responds in a perfect way. Only you know, God. Only you know if I can get freed from these chains. Only you know, God. Because to me, it looks impossible. But you know, God. And God goes back to Ezekiel and he says this. He never even addresses that. He says, tell him this, Ezekiel. Hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy. Tell them, Ezekiel. Tell the situation that your God is real. Tell your situation. You got to be watching out because my God's waging war on you. You better watch out. Because my God is waging war. Oh, and you've got me convinced at times that my chains are going to drag me under the water and drown me. But all of a sudden, I'm going to start speaking about my God to you. And you cannot convince me that you can take down my God. And my God is with me because my God has left the heavenly realms. Because my God is my support. Because my God has got a hold of me. And I'm not going down. 2 Samuel 19, 22-19 says this: they confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out. Look at 20 says, he brought me out into what? What's a spacious place? Freedom! He brought me out in freedom. He freed me. He rescued me because he what? Somebody say it out loud. Did you hear that? Say it again. Do you hear what you're saying to yourself? He delights in you. He delighted in me. He likes me. Do you know that? Do you know that God delights in you? When you're feeling down and you're bound to the ground and the mud's got a hold of you and you're dry as a bone in the desert, when you're down and God says, I like you. I delight in you. I find my delight in you. Me, God? Yes. He finds his delight in you. And he finds his delight in you. He likes you. Because he delighted in me. Why did he show up? Oh, for crying out loud, jealous, got himself in a jam again. Just a minute, Gabriel, I need to go out here. Can you get out of that? For crying out loud, no, he doesn't do that. He delights in me. And he wants to free you. And he wants to bring you into a spacious place. And he wants to rescue you because he delights in you, because he likes you. In the Ezekiel passage, he starts talking and he starts hearing. I think it's in verse 8 of Ezekiel 37. He starts this. He said, I started to hear a noise. I started to hear God start to work. Can you hear the noise? Can you hear the noise of God working in your life? Can you start hearing the noise? You cry out to God. He's done all this because one guy cried out to him. He does all this because Ezekiel says yes to God. And he says this, so I prophesied. Oh, there it is. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. It's one of my favorite words in the Bible. What I started to do and walk and trust God, I started to hear God move in my life. I heard a noise. And then what's the next thing he did? What did he do? A rattling noise. And bones came together, bone to bone. I looked. That's one of my favorite things. I heard this noise, and oh man, I heard things going on. I heard bones. All of a sudden, I started hearing bones coming together, clicking, 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 clicking. How do you even know what bones go on what thing? I mean, you got a whole valley of bones. You're gonna. If I put them together, I'd end up with half a giraffe and half a human and another part of an elephant. It would look like some kind of messed up dude, but God was putting the bones back together. He knows how to put your life back together. Your life might be completely a mess. Don't worry. God knows where the bones are. And God will put the bones back together. And he'll put bone to bone. And look what happened. I looked. He heard this noise and he started seeing God work. And he started seeing things happen. He said, I can't not look anymore. And he turned around and he got to see what God was doing right in his very midst. Woo-hoo. And the flesh appeared on them and skin covered them. Oh, but there was no breath. He wasn't done yet. Just so you know, let me say this. God's not just trying to get you over the hump. He's trying to get you all the way. God is not trying to just get you a job. He wants to get you into the kingdom. God just doesn't want to solve just the little problems that's got you under the weather right now. He doesn't want to just solve your financial problems. He wants to solve all your problems. Come on now. And I looked, and the tendons and the tendons and the flesh appeared in them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And I can hear the hopelessness of Ezekiel. I can hear the hopelessness of Ezekiel. Here I am, God. I started to see you work in my life, and now I don't see anymore. I'm about ready to throw in the towel, God. He said, no, woo, don't throw in the towel yet. Don't. Because the Ezekiel passage goes on to say this. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds and breathe into this situation. Breathe into this, what you started to do in my life. Breathe into these dry bones. Breathe into my life. Breathe into my parenting. Breathe into my marriage. Breathe into my life, God. I don't want us just not to fight, God. I want the breath of God, God. Breathe into my life. So I prophesied as I was commanded. This is Ezekiel speaking. And breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Back to 2 Samuel 22, picking it up in verse 1. Verse 31, as for God, His way is perfect. Just so you know, don't try to think you can outdo God. And you don't have to. It's not a competition. It's not if I can arrive certain, I'll get certain accolades, God, if I can just do this much without you, and then maybe you'll notice me, and then maybe you'll take me on. All I need is the college scouts to come in and just see me, God. I'll work really hard, and then you'll send your angel scouts, and maybe I'll make the NFL. Maybe I'll make college. Maybe I'll make it to the next level. And God said, I've had you all the way from the beginning. You don't have to impress me. I want to do this because I delight in you. I want to free you from your chains. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? You know what that means? Who's going to do it except for the sovereign Lord? No one is the answer. No one! And I got to get over this in my life to think that there is something else. And God said, why would you want something else? I am here. Don't throw in the towel. I'm going to breathe into you. Backing up just a little bit in 2 Samuel. In verse 29, it says this, you are my lamp, O Lord. Look what he says. Is it on the screen? The Lord turns whose darkness? Say it again. Your darkness. Your darkness. Into what? That's pretty good stuff. He's going to take your darkness and my darkness, and He's going to turn it into light. Thirty says, with your help, I can advance against the troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Do you understand that God doesn't remove all the walls? There may be walls in your life, and He doesn't remove. He's not removing that wall, but guess what? He's going to empower you to go over the wall. So if you come up to a wall, cry out to God, said either, God, you got to move this wall, or I got to have the gusto to get over it. In Jesus' name, here we go. Back in 32 of 2 Samuel. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? And who is, it is God who arms who? Say it out loud. Do you hear yourself saying that? He arms you. He arms me. It is God who arms me with what? Are you buying in? Are you buying in? Are you ready? Are you saying, God, I need you to do that? Because I need you to turn my darkness into light. And God, I need you to arm me with strength. Me, God, me. One guy crying out to a God. One guy ignited a God to come out of the heavens and to interact in his life, to get mad at the chains and what was holding him down, and be this amazing shot to blow the chains right off of him, to set him free, not just so he can have a few extra dollars in his pocket, but so that he can be victorious in life. I said, don't throw in the towel. I've started to work, and sometimes we start to work and then we give up. We start to let God work in our life, and then we give up. Maybe I see it over and over and over in my life and in other people's lives. I see that the pressure gets off, and all of a sudden, you're not seeking God anymore. Because all of a sudden, you got kind of the pressure off, and it doesn't feel as bad anymore. Maybe I got healed, and now I'm not as sick, and so now I'm away more and more and more and more from God. I'd like to know when I'm going to finish here, and I bet you would too. So that makes all of us. It is God who arms me with strength and makes what? Say it again. My way what? Your way secure? Dude, we're talking about God. And he's talking about you. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and causes me to stand on what? On new heights. Do you want to do that? You want to stand on new heights? Are you tired of the chains holding you to the ground? Are you tired of being in the mud? Are you tired? Are you tired of being a dry bone in a valley? Are you tired? Are we ready to cry out to God? Cheryl's mom has been passed now for, it'll be 2 years in September. A great hole in the family, still. But we have a little chalkboard in our kitchen. And she used to come down on a regular basis, and I really loved her coming down because she made peach pies. But she wrote on that chalkboard one time, I don't know if we ever seen her do it, but it's me, oh Lord. It's me. And that's a quote out of the old song. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not the preacher nor the deacons, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not two or three other really cool dudes. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not selfish to seek God to free you from the chains that you are bound by. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and he enables me to stand on new heights. Look what he does. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. Oh God, you give who? Who? Say it. Me. Say it again. What's he give you? You can save me. Help my shield. You give me your shield. You stoop down and make me great. You broaden the path beneath me. Verse 37 says, so that my ankles do not give way. You see what God wants to do? Our world kicks against God so much, and God just wants to enable us to be all that we can be. I was reading a philosopher, an old dead philosopher, Soren Kierkegaard. And he made this statement: with my God, I can become myself. What a powerful statement. God just wants to get us to what you were created to be. He wants your feet to be solid. He wants you to stand on new heights. He doesn't want your chains to hold you down anymore. Will you let Him? It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. One guy cried out to God and God showed up. Can you stand with me today? I just got the end flag in my brain here, so. God, thank you for moments together. Thank you for helping me risk it. And Lord, because I come to this moment in the service and I feel like I did what you wanted me to do this morning. Father, thank you for the ability to trust you. And thank you for the moments that you have come into my life. And Lord, I just want to reiterate in my own life and everyone's here that, God, you're not mad at us. You're just not. You are not mad at us. And you're not shooting at us. You're mad at our chains. You're mad at our bondage. And you are shooting at it. So, Father, help our feet stand on new heights. In Jesus' name, may they stand on new heights. In Jesus' name, may you hand me your shield of victory. In Jesus' name, may you enable my feet to be strong and my ankles not to turn. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Come alive. Your dry bones, come alive. And I know that Ezekiel passage in verse 11, I think it is, says this: Ezekiel, these dry bones are the people of Israel. These are the people of God. They are dry and they need me. Father, we're dry. We need you. Stand us up so that we become this vast army. In Jesus' name, that we would become this vast army. Walking with you as you alter all of eternity with your love and your actions on this earth. Father, I thank you. Father God, I thank you so much for these moments together. And I thank you that we can ask, breathe, O breath of God. That I can ask God to show up, and I can ask God to free me from the chains. Father, thank you. We're going to leave here now. And I think we're going to leave here in more of a spacious place than when we came. So, Father, in Jesus' name, help us navigate this day with great success. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.